Even my monthly bill was very much. So I have like maybe 20 or 30 customers, but my monthly bill even went to 10K, US dollars 1 month.
Holy cow.
This episode of Indie Worldwide was brought to you by Biggin by Zoho CRM. That's right, Indie Worldwide has landed ourselves a sponsorship. Big shout out to Biggin, the simple CRM that will let you start building customer relationships to last a lifetime. They've got an easy-to-use application that works great on mobile, all the features you need to manage those relationships, and integrations with just about any application you might want. We have a link in the description you can click to get 50% off your first year using Biggin by Zoho CRM. Big shout out to Zoho for supporting Indie Worldwide.
So, welcome to the Indie Worldwide podcast. Thanks for coming on. We've been working together for a bit now because I use your product Feather for everything, it seems like. I use it for Wising Guides, I use it for Indie Worldwide, I use it for my personal blog. Maybe let's start
you
with...
You are also the first user who used Feather.
I'm number one? First paid user?
Yeah.
Nice. I thought I was, but I didn't know for sure. Yeah, it's awesome. I think I'm your second paying user also because I wanted a second separate account. Both annual subscriptions, by the way. So we'll come back to Feather. Let's start with you. What were you doing before you were indie hacking?
So after I graduated, I started working as a software engineer in a startup around here in India. So my pay was it was very good compared to other people here in India. But after 6 months, I just quit my job. I felt like that's not the lifestyle for me. So yeah, then that's when I thought I had to build something of my own. But I have no idea what to do. So I partnered with my friend of mine, and then we started working together on something. I think for over a year or something. But even that did not go anywhere. So so that's like we built everything in private, and then one day when we launched, nothing happened. So yeah, it's just like we have eventually moved on. He went his own way, I went my own way. Yeah, so after that, I started working on MDX one. Yeah, that's how.
So a year of building in private. What was that product that you guys built together?
So it's a edtech based product. It's a kind of like a course platform or something like. Something related to edtech, completely different than what I was.
But no doing. Marketing efforts. And...
No, I mean he. So it's like I'm more like a tech guy in that scenario. I did not get involved in anything other than coding. But yeah, so I later realized that that's not what I wanted to do, and also did not go anywhere. Yeah. So yeah.
Nowadays, you're doing pretty good on the marketing side. Like you've really, it seems like you've figured it out recently on Twitter with the build in public. I feel like just a month or two ago you were at 1,000. Now you're at 4,000. So you're growing really fast. That didn't work out. You started MDX. MDX didn't quite work out either. What happened there?
So before MDX only, I think when I was working on my other edtech startup, so I started blogging on Hashnode. So I started a developer blog and then wrote everything I have been learning while building that platform. So yeah, that's when I met so many other bloggers, other developers who got interested in my writing, and then they reached out to me, we talked So my network kind of started building from then, when I started blogging. So that's how I started MDX. When I wanted to build something of my own, I'm already writing articles at that time, and I'm writing them in Notion and then copying everything onto Hashnode and then publishing it. So yeah, that's when I started building this MDX one. The first month, when it launched, So it was kind of like how Feather got launched. There was a hype and people started signing up, and I even got a few paid users. But then Notion decided to change their API, and suddenly MDX stopped working for, I think, for about a month or so. It did not work. So yeah, the momentum got lost from them.
And so then MDX, the idea was the same as Feather, right? Like,
yeah,
you're going to make a blogging platform on top of Notion.
Yeah, yeah. The idea is same as Feather, but the end product is very different from Feather.
So Notion changed their API. Is this when, like, use Notion CMS comes? Is this when you create your, like, Notion API service?
Even my monthly bill was very much, and I was using MDX. So I have, like, maybe 20 or 30 customers, but my monthly bill even went to $10,000 US dollars 1 month.
Holy cow. For like AWS?
No, for Vercel.
For Vercel, okay. How? Yeah. And did you have credits? Like, how are you paying $10,000 a month?
I mean, they ignored it. They said that this is the first time, so they will refund that. So they refunded that $10,000 amount. But the next month, I think I got around $5,000 or something. And they gave me another chance. And then the next month, I got $1,800. But I had to pay that $1,800. So that's when I decided. So if I get more users, it's only going to cost me. It's not, there is no upside to it. So I stopped signups for MDX1 and decided to rebuild everything from scratch. I changed the entire infrastructure and everything. So I took, I think, 3 to 4 months just to figure out how to cache things properly without costing too much. I moved everything from Vercel to Cloudflare. So yeah, so that's when I use Notion CMS started. So use Notion CMS is like a backend for Feather. So Feather uses use Notion CMS on the backend. But I just decided to turn it into a separate product to see if anyone else needs it. But I did not do much marketing for that. Right now, I have only, I think, two customers. One is paying $29 and other person is paying, I think, $120 or something per month. So so it's still running, but I started working on Feather. I decided to rebrand MDX to Feather, change everything, and use this Cloudflare infrastructure. That's when I finally launched Feather.
Nice.
It was like so 1 year of...
kind of doing the AWS strategy, right? Like, you're selling the service that you use internally. It's just kind of interesting that you did that first, right? Like, Amazon first started selling books, then they started selling AWS. You went straight to selling AWS, and now you're going to sell books. So you launched Feather, which is like MDX part 2, which makes it super easy to host a blog on top of Notion. You've got this Notion CMS layer in the middle that makes it easy for you to get that data out and parse it. Now we're basically at the same point as we were before, right? Like, you were working with this other partner. You guys didn't do any marketing. Obviously, you've made some changes since then, because I know about Feather and lots of other people already do too. So how have you been marketing Feather? What did you learn?
So even for MDX, so when I started, even before writing a single line of code, I started marketing for that. So I started a waitlist. I created a basic landing page. So even when building MDX, for every little thing, I started posting on Twitter. So today I did this. So every time I post, I'll get some more waitlist users. And then I will work on another feature, and then I'll get some other waitlist users. So I think the waitlist grew up to 400 or 500 or something for MDX.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
So that became like a habit for me. So right now, it's not like I'm intentionally doing anything. It just comes out like I try to share everything, and it's not intentional. It's, it's how I am right now. So that became natural to me when I started building MDX.
So this came from your blog and just Twitter. Was there any other channels?
Just blog and Twitter. Blog also, nice. Right now, it's not there. Right now, it's everything mm-hmm. is from Twitter and word of mouth, obviously.
Why did you decide to pivot to Twitter?
I did not pivot to Twitter exactly. But mm-hmm. yeah, I saw other people. So I came to this indie hacking world. People like Damon, Kenneth. So they were building all these cool things at that time. So yeah, I just kind of followed them on Twitter and then saw what they are doing. And then there is like a whole community on Twitter who are building their solo businesses. So I came into that world on Twitter and felt like it's a natural medium to share things that I'm working on. Yeah, so it kind of happened. It's not intentional, it just happened. And it worked out in the end.
Yeah, it seems like you've gotten pretty good at it, though. You're posting, building publics tweets. I'm looking at your last tweet 9 hours ago. Looks like you just crossed $500 MRR. So congratulations on that. That's really good.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you start charging for Feather? It's only been a month or two, right?
I think it's 18th of May, I think. May 18th. 18th of May. Yeah.
So since May, you've launched this, you've started to grow the MRR. It's all still word of mouth and Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you have plans for distribution going forward? Are you just going to keep pushing on Twitter? Do you have other ideas?
So the main thing I wanted to push on is SEO. I think that will work pretty well for this. So I'll start with publishing the help articles. So right now, most of my time is answering questions to customers. Yeah, I think these help guides will help reduce that. And then, yeah, I'll plan on publishing more content. So yeah, I think my next strategy is SEO.
And you're quite, you seem to know a lot about SEO because you've built Feather to be very SEO optimized, at least on the technical side.
So the problem with me is I know lot of technical things on SEO, but I haven't practically used it. So I know how something should be, but I don't know if it is like that, it will work or not, because I haven't experienced it myself yet.
I see.
So
where have you been learning about SEO? How do you have?
So when I was building MDX, so it's a blogging platform, right? So I had to learn everything. So at that time, I was in a group, circle group. It's a circle community called Blogging for Devs community. So most of the things I learned are from that community.
SEO is something I'm really trying to figure out this year as well. It's part of why I ended up signing up for your platform is because of the SEO component. I wanted to be able to just write in Notion and have things done for me on the SEO side. So then I found your platform. It's like, oh, well, this is perfect. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And I found you through Indie Worldwide. I think you were already in the community. And so that's where I saw you posting about what you were doing. And I'd already started working with Anna on our blog together, which is Wise and Guides. And so I messaged there's three or four different people in the Slack who all were building tools to blog using Notion. Yours was the one most focused on SEO and really just being a blogging platform. And even though it wasn't exactly launched yet, it seemed closest to what I needed.
When you first messaged me, it was not even near completion. So it was just starting, I think. I think I remember even telling you that it won't be finished by the time you needed. And I think I said to go with Ghost or something until I finish. Yeah, I remember that. But finally, it worked out, I think.
Yeah, it was. I think I was basically that meme of Fry from Futurama with the wad of cash thrusted at your face, please finish this and let me buy it from you.
Yeah. So that really pushed me. So if there is no feedback coming in, so I don't know so what to build. So when you started using it, so I understood what things are needed, what to build, what to not build. So when I started getting more users, yeah, so that's how everything came into place. When users started requesting features, or users started asking questions, then yeah, everything came into place, what to build and what to add, what to remove, yeah.
I think this is something indie hackers on Twitter at least aren't talking about a lot, which is that once you have customers, it's a lot easier to get things done and build because, one, they're telling you what they need, and then two, there's the motivation of, oh, they're paying me money. I need to get this out there. At least for me, I find it much easier to get things done once I've launched something. So I'm working right now on the 100-100 challenge. It's round two. We last did it like over a year ago, and I thought I'd build everything ahead of time. I never did because nobody was like demanding it of me. So I realized I just have to like launch it again because as soon as I'm putting it out there and people are signing up and ready to go, then it's like, okay, there's pressures on, got to get things out.
How many completed the challenge successfully?
So last year we had 550-ish sign up. Of them, I think 100-something founders submitted data all the way through. And then of those, 9 got 100 customers, which is like, it's a very aggressive goal on purpose. So the point isn't necessarily to hit the goal, it's to keep pushing towards the goal, so keep signing up users. And we ended up also ranking people by revenue added because obviously not every user is worth the same amount of money, right? So for some people, one new user was like $5,000. For some other people, one new user was like $1. And the people who made the most money over the challenge were actually not the people who added 100 new users. It was the ones who were charging like $5,000 per user. So we had a whole separate leaderboard ranking people by revenue. And we'll probably do that again this year to just recognize people who are building really strong businesses that don't demand hundreds of users. You know, like I think like there's unicorn startups out there with like 250 customers because each customer is paying them like $500,000, right?
Yeah, even I signed up to this. So last time I was not there.
So to recap here, we've got Banu, founder of Feather, just hit $500 MRR, got there by building in public on Twitter and blogging. This is your basically fourth attempt at a startup, but you're only 24 years old. What are your plans for the next month?
I think it's same, building in public, writing help guides, starting the SEO streak. It's same as every other month.
What advice do you have for somebody who's maybe in your shoes 2 years ago, they're at their first job, they're thinking about becoming an indie hacker? What do you tell them?
I'm not sure exactly. I think every person's journey is different. So yeah, even if something worked out for me, it doesn't mean it will work out for other people. The context is different, and everything is different. So yeah, I think it's better not to compare with others and then just go their own way. I think that's what I did.
Very nice. Well, Banu, thanks for coming on the podcast. I'd love to have you back on 6 months, a year from now, when Feather's grown from 500 to 5,000 or 50,000, 500,000, who knows? I'm a Feather super fan, and I have no doubts that it's going to keep growing bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I hope so.
And we've got a little race on too right now for people that don't know. We're neck and neck on the revenue, and we're both racing to 1,000. I think I challenged you to the race at like, and you were ahead of me by $100, but I've caught up. So now you're at 500, I'm at 600, and trying to see who gets to 1,000 first. But I think long term you're gonna leave me in the dust because the nature of your product is people writing on top of your platform and creating hundreds and hundreds of pages. So as you grow, I think your growth engine is going to get very strong, and I think you'll have many, many more hundreds of users than I do in a year or two. That's why I only challenged you to a race to 1,000 and not a race to 1,000,000.
I don't think I can beat you at 1,000. Yeah, but you will see what will happen.
All right. I'm going to end us here. This was the Indie Worldwide Podcast with Banu, and we'll see you on the next one.